This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Brett.
Hi, I'm Brett.
And you've been listening to another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9.
joy.org.au/The Affair.
The Affair on Joy 94.9.
Well, good evening.
Good evening, Brady.
How are you tonight?
I'm most well, and I hope our listeners are as well.
Absolutely. And tonight on The Affair, it's something that Brady and I have been talking about for some time.
We're still living there, I think, sometime.
It's the 90s affair tonight, where I suppose I came of age in the 90s.
Yeah, look, do you know what? If I still had enough hair, I'd have a bowl cut like I had in the 90s. At the moment, unfortunately, I don't.
See, I was still living with my New Wave fringe, and then when I actually gave it a snippity snip around 1990-91, it then started to fall out.
Yes. No, see, I didn't have a bowl cut at the start. That was when I had my kind of Michael Hutchence curly bob.
Oh, nice. Oh. I have seen you with hair, and I actually like you the way you are, buddy.
Oh, you're so smooth.
But that's more of a 1970s soul song. Tonight it's all about, we're going to play a lot of dance tracks, but we actually want to hear from our wonderful Joy listeners your favourite 90s song.
And everyone's got one.
And look, it doesn't have to be dance music, though we do love a little bit of dance.
We would encourage that, yes.
Brady, big question.
Go on.
Can you name just the one track that you love? I'm assuming it's from Hit Machine Volume...
Do you know what? Eagle-eared listeners, there's nothing from Hit Machine Volume 8 on tonight's playlist. However, yes. Huge Hits 1997 came to the rescue. And in fact, our first song tonight is from Huge Hits 1997.
Oh, right now...
It's a double disc.
Before we actually play the track, now, it's the fabulous Ultra Nate with Free. But Brady and I were just talking, because we normally have a little bit of a chit-chat before the show, getting ourselves ready. And I said, great, I can't wait to play Ultra Nate. And Brett sort of gave me this look of saying, who the F is Ultra Nate?
Do you know what? The Ultra Nate almost works like a word because it sounds like alternate.
Well, that's what I thought it was. And no. I've been saying Ultra Nate since 1997. No one has picked me up.
No. Well, there's a whole Nate family. That's her real name.
I know. Now.
Seriously, with a name like that, she either had to become a pop singer or a washing detergent, really.
And blessed, do you know what? Because I've actually done a little bit of research about what happened. And Ultra Nate is one of these people.
Nate.
Ultra Nate, ladies and gentlemen, is still playing the club, so music's still really strong. But this is, we're actually working ourselves backwards because this is actually from 1997.
Yes,
isn't
huge
it?
Hits 1997, no less.
Huge Hits 1997, and it's Ultra Nate with Free. You're listening to The Affair.
Ooh. She started without us.
Goodness. You're enjoying 94.9 with Brett and Brett.
This is Gina G, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's the 90s affair tonight, and you can't get much more 90s than D-Ream. Things can only get better.
Can I just tell a little bit about D-Ream?
Go on, then.
For a moment. So, can things only get better, really, is the question that I want to ask.
Okay.
So, D-Ream first came to prominence with You're the Best Thing, which I loved, as well as Things Can Only Get Better. Mm-hmm. So they were really popular around the early to late 90s.
Yes, I have both their albums.
Oh, really? Because I was...
They're not good.
I thought we might be talking about They Played All the Hit... but I realised there was at least two hits, yes. So they were a group.
There was another one, Shoot Me With Your Love.
Yeah, probably more of a
wasn't
hit
really a hit, I guess.
No, it wasn't really
a hit. It was a single. There's a difference.
But I was surprised that one of the guys in the band, Brian Cox, went on to bigger and better things. Now, he is a physics professor and a science broadcaster, and he worked on the Large Hadron Collider project.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so he does keyboard, but occasionally you'll see him on BBC shows. And he's sort of this pretty cool scientist.
Yeah.
Like, he's a cool scientist. Brady and I were just talking in the group because D-Ream was obviously, it was Brady's choice, but it was probably, I remember falling in love with the lead singer. And then
Peter Cunner. Yes.
And then when I watched the film clip today... My tastes have clearly changed since the 90s.
I still think he's quite an attractive gentleman.
Well, he's not bad. Yeah. I wouldn't... Yeah, but what we are talking about tonight is the 90s, and obviously we want to talk about favourite 90s music, and we want to hear from our listeners.
Let us know what your favourite 90s song is.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, we do talk about... We have talked roughly around the 60s before, and I wanted to talk about the 90s and the start of the decade, because... It's really hard when you finish a decade like the 80s. What the hell do you do next?
Yeah. And look, when you come up to the end of a decade, there's always this almost like this pressure as to what's the next decade going to be like. You know, like at the end of the 70s, it was like, oh, we're heading into the 80s now, 80s baby. And, you know, then it was like the 80s were so huge. And then the 90s came.
Yeah, it's like watching a Cher concert. The farewell, what are you going to do after that?
It gets bigger and bigger, more and more feathers every outfit.
Bob Mackie, where are you? God bless. But then the 90s start, and always, and you know, we had this little a chat before about how when a decade starts, it's still sort of the tail end of the previous decade. And even the start of the 90s, it was that blurred lines. How the clubland of the 80s was still such a big proponent in the 90s, but how the 90s doesn't really get started till at least 93 or 94.
Yeah, it would be much more convenient for historians if all of a sudden on the 31st of December, everybody went, right, we're not wearing those clothes anymore or listening to that music. We're now all going to dress in beige, Calvin Klein style. It's the 90s.
Absolutely. And I think there's been some really big world events, and you could see it by like 1939... The war started, and that was really the end of the 30s. 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, mm-hmm. and that was sort of the end of the... Well, at least the start of the end of the Cold War, and sort of the 80s sort of finished.
Yeah, well, see, because the 80s was all that big, you know, Cold War, were we all going to blow up kind of thing.
Yes, and I remember, like, being absolutely frightened as a child, saying, okay, well, soon a bomb will be dropped somewhere in the world.
And the weird part is, we were all more scared in the 80s, but in the 90s, there were actual wars.
Yes! Absolutely. Let alone everything that was happening in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that was probably a really scary time.
But we were all more worried in the 80s. Very strange. Not that I remember the 80s, of course, because I'm far too young.
Anyway. But I found it funny about the... Because in the 80s, pretty much from 1980 to 1991, I was at school. And then I went to university afterwards. And how the 90s started, because of the recession of the 80s, because of all the excess that was happening... And all the colour and movement.
The giant shoulder pads.
Oh, my God. Just stopped, literally, overnight. Well, maybe not overnight, maybe a year or two later. And the 90s was stripped bare, so to speak. And when you look back at the fashion, Brett, it's so bland.
Yeah. Well, look, it was because everything in the 80s was so huge and colourful and large. So there was a little bit of a, you know... kick against that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of went the other way. Everyone kind of went all wishy-washy.
Bland.
Yeah.
I'm still looking back at the 90s thinking, because I was a young man then, thinking, oh, what did I wear? And I looked at some of the photos, and it's just bad fashion. It's 501 jeans, and it's bad T-shirts. But then, this is talking about the early 90s.
Yes.
But then when we move into Clubland, when... dance parties and that whole underground dance scene was happening, you got that club wear?
Yes, and we've talked on air before about my PVC shiny trousers.
Now,
yes.
I'm glad you said that because I remember in the 90s there was all that big, how the rainbow flag came about. Now, the rainbow flag was originally from the 70s in San Francisco and was more colours than the six colours it stands for today. And the only reason why pink got dropped, I love this story, is because they ran out of pink silk. So then it was reduced to six. But I remember the various different outfits in the 90s around, like I remember you could buy rainbow pants and they were like that parachute silk.
Ooh.
And it was six colours of the pride nice. Flag.
Well, you know you can still buy ties and things online. If you type in like pride shop into Google, you can buy like coffee cups in the pride flag. You can get ties, baseball caps.
I'm always torn about the rainbow flag because I love what it represents and it's such a powerful symbol. But it's really gay.
It's not very attractive.
It's so gay. And I mean, I'm not saying that in a derogatory sense. It's just, it's gay.
Yeah. Perhaps best saved for parade day.
Yes.
Rather than your day-to-day wear, I think.
Yeah. And it's really hard to integrate that into outfits.
Yeah. You've kind of, what you can do is pick one colour that's in there.
Yes.
And then, you know, wear, like, say, red jeans. And then the red in the flag picks it up.
Oh, I didn't think
of that. See the thought I've put into this? And I don't even own a piece of pride clothing.
Are you maybe reflecting on clothes that you wore in 1995?
No, I did not. I didn't have clothes. I had the pride rings necklace, which we've also discussed before.
Oh, yes. Hey, look, one of the next artists that you chose, which can I say, chookers, because I love this artist. It's Tony Perrin.
Yeah.
Walk Away Lover. No, it's not Walk Away Lover. Fabulous. She was an actress from East Street. She also had a bit of a pop star before she went on to hosting other TV shows. And we used to do a dance with this song, Brady. It was called the Casino Move. And it was basically because my friend danced it at a casino nightclub in the 90s.
Nice. Do you know what I love about, if you check out the film clip for this and some kind of other video clips from that time, was you would always try to replicate the dance moves in the nightclub.
Yes!
And there's, get online and check out this video clip after you've listened to it on the radio, of course, on Joy 94.9. And there's a few moves in there where she's kind of shoving the hands around. And I remember doing them on more than one dance floor.
Oh, goodness. Tony Perrin. Oh, and I love the start. You're in Joy 94.9 with Brett Squared on the 90s Affair.
From E17 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. So turn it up and stay tuned.
You're listening to the very 90s Affair on Joy 94.9 with Brett Squared tonight. Brettie, the question that we're asking everyone is, what is their favourite 90s song? And we've had a bit of a shout out.
We have. Ben from Ascot Vale was perhaps inspired by Tony Perrin that we heard just before the break and has nominated Melissa Coutts. Sexy is the Word, fellow East Streeter there. I've got her album as well.
Of course you do. Yeah. Oh, my God. Sexy's the Word. Now, did she also do... Now, because I sometimes get Melissa Katz.
Do it. Read My Lips.
Read My Lips. And there was another song she did, All I Want to Do Is Dance, or is that Colette?
No, that's Colette.
Right.
The third Melissa song. Oh, now I'm racking my brain. There was one. It was a little bit slower.
We might have to think about that, but we do want to hear from you. If you've got a favourite 90s song, please share it with us on 1300...
Joy 949.
Oh, my God, I forgot the number. 1300 Joy 949. Been one of those forgetful days, hasn't it, Brett?
It has. We're trapped back in the 90s.
Now, being back in the 90s, I came out in the 90s, and clearly...
Were you ever
as well.
In, Brett?
Rude! Rude. Okay. Well, you know what? That, it was funny that you say that because someone else asked me that question about were you ever in? And I think, well, of course, GLBTI people are really never in. We're always out, but it probably the penny drops, doesn't it?
For other people or for you?
I think a bit of both sometimes. I think definitely for me. I think it just, I remember one day I was really struggling about my feelings. I was about 16. And I had no idea. And I didn't feel like I was actually fitting in. It was quite bizarre. And all of a sudden, it just literally, the penny dropped one day and I realised, oh, right, I like men. Okay. And then I sort of thought about it. And in my quite weird 16-year-old brain, I went, okay, so I'm gay. Oh, I've got to have a boyfriend. So literally, I finished year 11, did my exams, and my object was, okay, clearly I'm gay, so I need to find myself a boyfriend and see, you know, work this out. And literally a few days later, I met this guy and in love and had this wonderful little summer romance.
Wow. Before year 12. Where did you find said guy, or can't we tell that story on air?
No, no, no. We just sort of met. There was a gay beach in Perth. I don't mind saying this. There's a gay beach in Perth.
Which is beach with a CH, not a T.
Which I sort of, you know, like, because you sort of go, okay, I'll sneak. Because there used to be the West Side Observer. And because when gay newspapers paid such a big part of the community. And this is prior to mobile phones. I mean, mobile phones
were talking pre-internet, people.
Absolutely. So you find this sort of little gay. And I think I found it, like, at the West Australian art gallery, right in the gift shop. So I sort of went, oh, is this free? Oh, great! And I literally was going through and reading up on the sections, and I liked the beach, so I went down to this gay beach, and it was a beach, B-E-A-C-H. And this guy started talking to me, and he goes, "Do you want to lift home?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, great." And
that old chestnut.
I didn't realise that it was like, oh, okay. So what should we do next? And I said, okay, well, let's meet up again. And we did, and we went on a couple of dates, and I fell in love, and it was all from there. It was very sweet until he broke my heart, and then I hated his guts for quite some time, but I've forgiven him now because that's what young love's about, isn't it?
Oh, that's a nice story, and it was such a simple one. Suddenly, bam, I'm gay, now I'm going to, and 3 days later, he was being gay.
And the crazy thing was, in all of this, and now I can say this in reflection, is that I didn't have a problem with it. It was everyone else around me who struggled with the sexuality. Mm-hmm. But when I came to grips with it, I was a bit like, well, this is me. I'm just going to get on with it now. How was your story?
Mine takes more than one segment to tell. Mine was much longer. Mine wasn't a 3-day thing. Mine was like an 8-year thing. It was horribly drawn out and very traumatic.
Oh,
yes.
Brady.
Yeah, not just for me, but for my girlfriend as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't realise those freedom freedom rings you were wearing to a certain nightclub on Bourke Street.
Yes, yes. No, she didn't. No, it was awful. I feel very bad.
But, you know, it's such a trying time. And in the 90s, when you think about the 80s, and yeah, because it was the tail end of AIDS. And really, the community at large was really starting to deal with loss and dealing with change.
Yeah, and see, because that whole AIDS thing then added a whole extra stigma to the gay thing.
Absolutely.
You know, so that made it harder and it's just...
But you were saying before about the 90s that we were going in and out of sort of two steps forward, one step back, really, with GLBTI issues.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there were like some major things. I mean, speaking of coming out, Ellen DeGeneres came out, which was kind of, wow, huge. But of course, that ended badly because then they ditched her show. And, you know, and it took her another couple of years to get her chat show back on. Step back was the US Army did Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the 90s. So, you know, all this was kind of, there were things happening, you know, it wasn't until like 1992 that the World Health Organization stopped listing homosexuality as a disease.
Oh my God, is that I remember I came out, 1990, and only in 1989, homosexuality was decriminalized in, 1991 I came out, 2 years prior, The West Australian government had just decriminalised homosexuality. I mean, even in Tasmania, I mean, they had to fight. Bless Rodney Croon. And he had to put his neck on the line. And I don't want to sound I was a pioneer or the people of the 90s were pioneers, but I would not to the same extent as those in the 70s when they had to walk. I mean, I can't even imagine how those people were feeling walking down Oxford Street in the very first Mardi Gras march. But in the 90s, we were trying to sort of communicate. I mean, this was before social media, so you had to have, like I said, newspapers and clubs were such a big part of the lifestyle because it was at least somewhere to go to commingle with those.
Well, it was
of
kind
the
of the only place to meet people, you know, other than the Western Australian beach, apparently, according to some of us. We've had a message in from the lovely Anastasia from Thursday Breakfast, and she loves us. She's on her way to dinner, and I'm not reading out the rest of the message because it's a little bit rude.
But you know what? She does say, I'm a lesbian, Anastasia. Oh, love your guts,
Thanks
Anastasia.
For clarifying that, darling.
Thanks for coming out on our show, darling, one more time. Now, something else big in the 90s, Brett, one of my favourite albums had to be Madonna with Erotica. She had the sex book. It was all about, clearly, her just gamming, putting the spotlight back to herself. And this is one of the songs which I absolutely love from this. The film clip's amazing.
The film clip's great. And you know what I love about it? Is she samples herself.
I know. You're on The 90s Affair with Brett Squared on Joy 94.9.
In Melbourne, for Australia and the world, Joy 94.9.
It's been a very 90s affair on Joy 94.9 tonight. Still is for another 15 minutes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We have another message. Someone was in heaven loving the Madonna track.
It's all about the 90s. We've been asking and we've had some lovely responses about what's your favourite 90s song.
Yep. But you know what? Speaking of favourite 90s songs, I was checking out what the biggest selling songs of the 90s were.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
And amazing. Well, not amazingly, but
it could be amazingly pretty.
I'm quite shocked by what is in there because it almost coincides with Name Your Most Irritating 90s Song.
Oh, no,
so
I just realised Cotton Down Joe for me,
Cotton
hands down.
Oh. So the number one selling song of the 90s, Brady, do you know what it was?
Yes. Big band or big artist?
Big artist.
Big artist. Not Cher.
No.
No?
No. If you're thinking of Cher's Believe, that only comes in at number 18.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The number one selling song of the 90s was Candle in the Wind 1997, the Princess Diana funeral song by Elton John.
Hey, what about, you know one band I did love in the 90s? Mm-hmm. It was, when I was at uni, everyone played it. Oasis, Wonderwall.
Nope.
Such a great.
Not even in the top 20.
Wow.
Nope. Do you know what was number 7?
What?
Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Ray Cyrus.
My mother would be pleased. She loved Achy Breaky Heart. She also did, you know how we were talking about before about you would watch the film clip and do the dance moves?
Yes.
Well, my mother used to do that every time Achy Breaky Heart came out.
Well, perhaps she also did it to the number 10 song, Macarena, Lost Del Rio.
Yep, she loved Macarena, Maggie.
These are the top selling songs of the whole decade, people. You've got no one to blame but yourselves for these. Number 3, Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega. Seriously, what are you people thinking?
Okay,
Chumbawamba Tub Thumping at number 9?
What the hell was that?
Oh, you know, they play it in all the bogan Australian bars in London.
I don't know that one.
Eiffel 65, Blue Dubba Dee Dubba Da.
Do you know
what? Number 14.
I actually didn't mind the blue song, but I didn't realise. Is this worldwide?
Yeah, no, this is Australia.
Oh, okay.
I've gone local.
Right, all right.
Barbie Girl, Aqua, number 17.
Do you know the song?
I love that song. I love Aqua.
Do you know the song
that
I loved by Aqua? And it was from the film Sliding Doors, Turn Back Time.
Yes.
I thought that was the most lovely little pop song. And
it
still
is a lovely little pop song.
Yeah.
Do you know one of the best, I know we harp on about this all the time, Eurovision halftime acts was when Aqua did a 20-minute medley. Brilliant. They also had the number 20 top-selling song with Dr. Jones, calling Dr. Jones.
That's right.
You know what you thought might have been higher? Spice Girls, Wannabe, number 22.
Are you for real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Oh my God. I know. Really?
And there's just...
I forgot about the Spice Girls of the 90s. And take that. I mean, yes. Huge bands.
Well, they weren't very huge in the sales charts.
Oh my God.
My
well,
list.
For Australia.
No, not for Australia. So, but you know, they're just woeful. That entrance song doing Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy?
That's hideous, that
I know,
song.
I know, but all
oh,
you people
shame,
bought
Australia,
it.
Shame, Australia, shame. Oh, my God. Hey, tell you what. Do you know what? Now, as I said before, 1991, year of me coming out, mm-hmm. but I used to also go to the clubs, and there was one album. Now, I never liked her in the 80s. I'm sorry, Kylie. I didn't like you in the 80s. I didn't like Locomotion.
Get out.
However, The Rhythm of Love is still one of my favourite. And I
it's
never
play. Brilliant album.
Never play Kylie on Joy. I never do. However, this song, oh my God, it's still. I still want to dance to this, and I might do that in the studio. What do I have to do, Brady? You're on the Joy, the 90s Affair with Brett and Brett.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's the 90s. Well, it has been the 90s.
It has been,
tonight.
Hasn't it?
We've heard all about Bretty coming out in downtown Perth Beach.
I know. Oh, Perth Beach.
Had a visit from Kylie and Madonna.
Oh, my God.
Could we get any gayer?
I know. It was a big old gay 90s.
It was.
But, you know, I think the GLBTI community really started to cement itself in the 90s. And it started to pave the way for more people to come out and to accept that we're different. And it's great. It's awesome.
Woohoo.
Absolutely. Now, before we go to the last song tonight, which is played by probably one of my favourite bands ever. It's the B-52s with Rome. And the reason why I've chosen Rome, because it was actually a song from 1990.
Yeah.
Because next week we have the beautiful Michelle from A Single Life. She has just come back from her Grecian odyssey.
Oh, I hate people who've just come back from holiday.
But basically, and she's going to talk, and we're going to talk about
holidays.
Holiday Affair.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, we've got a quick shout out before
we do.
We go
thank
as
you
well.
To everyone who's messaged in with their favourite songs, and also to Tyler, who has suggested Groovers in the Heart by D-Light.
Oh, fabulous.
Yep.
Brady, final words for tonight?
Oh, happy 90s.
Oh, yes.
Really should have thought that one through, shouldn't I?
Now it's the wonderful B-52s with Rome. Brady. Au revoir.
Good night.
Joy 94.9.
This has been another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9.
You can always catch us at 6 p.m. on Saturday nights on Joy 94.9.
And catch us online at joy.org.au/theaffair.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.